Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and it's that time for the Financial Literacy Ride. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. So go grab your pen, pencil, and don't forget the paper, and get ready for your journey for the next 30 minutes.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. Bill Grown, Enjoy, WYGO, 1570 AM, The Light. It is 10-4-2011, October already, everyone, and it's cooling off already. Thus far here in Atlanta, Georgia, where it is 3 p.m., 12 p.m. Pacific on the west side of things in San Diego. So, everyone, BGE is wrapping up the week. As you know, we have our very special broadcast today with the preparation room with Pamela Reese Warloff and her team. We are wrapping up, preparing, you know, heading back to the next mission. As you guys know, we're doing city to city, coast to coast, back to San Diego on Thursday. Had a blast here in the A this past couple of weeks. You know, the movement is definitely alive. I just want to send a special thanks out to my incredible team, BGE. You guys rock as we go forth on this mission to empower and change the lives of so many. I just want to say I can't do it without you guys, and I love you. Also, thank you to my church leaders, Word of Faith, in support of this movement. And, of course, a big, big thanks and honors, hugs, and kisses to all of the community leaders taking on this movement task and making a difference in so many lives. So it's definitely an honor indeed. And so, as I mentioned, BGE will be back on the West Coast starting on Thursday, and this financial movement continues. And just what we have lined up in store for you all. You know, I got a lot of upcoming television and radio interviews with the very influential Dee Sanford when I get back to San Diego. Also going to be doing some stuff with Working Divas, Karen Vaughn, Access Cleveland interviews. So that's going to be awesome, reaching out to the community within that area. Powerful, powerful community leaders coming on the air, you know, just helping to promote this financial literacy movement. And just the importance of being financial literate. So I am just going to tell you guys. You just need to go to BillGrowAndEnjoy.com. Go ahead and check it out online for the show lineup. But it's definitely a don't miss. Be involved. Get yourself empowered. So I just want to say before I get Pamela, you know, going with what she has for the message for the day. While here in Atlanta, I had one very, very important and inspiring meeting. I had with one of the guys, the one and only Peter Pasternak. He's one of those, you know, the guy from the host of Flip That House, Atlanta. Very, very, very powerful meeting I had with him. For those of you that don't know him, he is the host of Flip That House from A&E. It was just an honor and joy to meet Peter and actually, you know, speak to him and get to know him. And I will tell you guys, he is definitely a man with passion and vision, and I just want to let you guys know, please make sure you tune into the show. He will be coming on the air to share an important message with you guys, not just about his businesses, but just his experiences when it comes to financial literacy and the real estate business, and you guys know he knows his stuff. He'll be coming on at 10:26, 3 p.m. here on Bill Grow and Enjoy, so definitely just make sure that you tune in. But this Thursday, he will be having a huge networking event out in Buckhead. And for you Atlanteans, make sure that you get out there 6 to 10 p.m. Out on Lenox Road. I do have the information up on BillGrownEnjoy.com. It is featured. Peter and his team will be having, you know, that Who is Who networking event. And I'm just going to say that you guys definitely want to get out there and get connected. You need to be at this event because it's going to have all the who's and who's of what you would want to do to help get your business to the next level and just share with some people, share ideas, and just contact with people that are like-minded to you. So definitely our one and only Dr. Josue Andino will be out there with BGE, you know, the creator of Hustle to the from the Hustle to the Boardroom. So he will be out there with Peter and his team and just out there just connecting with everyone in support of, you know, of Peter and his mission with his one-year anniversary networking event. So go ahead and check your schedules. Get connected. It's going to be an A-lister, all class. Go to BillGrownEnjoy.com. the flyer is up and get there as soon as you can. And that's Thursday from 6 to 10 p.m. Off of Lenox Road. For the information is on BillGrowAndEnjoy.com. Working Divas Lady, you know, get your cabins, you know, 3 days of bliss, you know, relaxation and unwind. WorkingDivas.com, as you guys know, the cruise is March 2nd through the 5th, heading out from the hot MIA to the Bahamas. Payment plans are available. You know that October 1st it started, where you can go ahead and get your reservations in. It is selling out fast, so more information, WorkingDivas.com or on BillGrowAndEnjoy.com. It's going to be a blast. So, everyone, it is that time, inspirational, uplifting testimony, first Tuesday of the month, and she is here on the air today. Please welcome a powerful woman of God, one that I love very, very much, Miss Pamela Reese Warlock with Preparation Room. Hey, Pam, I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Kamisia. I do. I think that was so great what you just said, and it is so good to hear. For us to hear when someone says they love us and know that they truly love us, and I truly love you too, and you know that. And I love you, all my listeners out there, Bill Growing and Joy. I love all of you too. If no one told you today, I want to tell you I love you, and I love everyone that's on the line as well. How is everybody doing? Hi, Annette.
Hi, Pam. How are you today?
Good, I'm doing great. Annette has been with the Preparation Room from the day that it started, so she is a great part of what's going on in the move with the Preparation Room and with our life and what God is doing in our life. And I think we have a guest on the phone today. You want to introduce yourself?
Hey, how you doing, Pam? It's Alan once again. How are you?
Hi, Alan. I'm glad that you're here. Well, we got some talk today, right?
That's what you said you had for me, so, hey, I'm willing to open up.
I think we have another listener in today. Once someone called in, is it Todd? Todd, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, Todd. We got these two mighty men of God, Todd Patterson and Alan Christopher. My friend from the Preparation Room, Alex Christopher. But anyway, let's get it going. Everybody is waiting to listen. But one of the things, I try to always start with a scripture. Do you have one, Annette, with you, or do you want me to go forward with the one I have?
Yes, I have. This is coming from the Living Bible, and it is Isaiah 40, and it is verse 28 to 31. And it says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that is the word of God today.
Amen. Amen. I like that, Annette. I like that.
Right, okay. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Well, one of the things that I want to come and just pray a minute before we go forth, because it is a powerful day. It is an ordained day that was ordained at the beginning of the earth that this day would be, this day. Everything that's going on, it is ordained to be. Well, anyway, Father God, we give you the glory. We praise you, O God, in the name of your Son, Jesus. We come boldly before the throne at the Preparation Room, pleading the blood of Jesus over everyone on the line and everyone that's listening. Right now, the blood of Jesus is upon you. We just decree in the name of Jesus that no satanic force, you're not welcome here. In the name of Jesus, over this prayer, over this word, over this radio station, and we just decree that the Spirit of God is resting, hovering over us right now. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and it is so in Jesus' name. Well, listeners, today, we're going to talk about men. We want to know why are our men running away and sharing away from church? Why are so many women going to church and their husbands are not? We just need to know and hear it from another man. We can sit back and have tea and talk about all this and all that, and we get up and go to church on the Sundays, on the Wednesdays, on the Fridays, but our male, what is going on? Now, I have two males that knows everything you need to know about what they feel, about what we need to ask. Now, if you have something that you want to call in and come forth, we have Minister Christopher and Minister Todd on the line, and they're willing to share anything that you need to ask. And as I ask you questions, you know, that I think that other people might want to ask, or Khaleesia or Annette or one of us, I just know that you two guys have something powerful to say. So we're going to start off with you, with Minister Christopher. What do you think the problem is with this situation?
Well, the problem right now with the situation is men have left the church. Unfortunately, it's due to what is going on in society, and that is the main cause of it. No excuse there should be. A lot of us men, we're not looking at ourselves in the mirror. And that's the first place we need to start at. We usually want to start and blame the female or the woman, your spouse or relationship that you might be in, and say, well, you know, you're growing better than me. You're leaving me. We come up with more excuses. So therefore, we become in a defeated mode. Having that defeated mode, we start to lose our dreams. And where you have to start with your dreams are is giving it to the Lord, and he will give you the deepest desires of your heart. So right now, a lot of men have become defeated, some because of what society has done or some of what we have done. But once again, you start by with looking in that mirror to find out what the problem is. And until we start doing that, that really lies some of the hardness of the why men are leaving. So that's going to really come to an individual basis, and it's going to be a lot of answers out there. But once you look at yourself, because I had kind of strayed away from the church at one point in time as well, and I wanted to live into the world, and I figured that's what I had to do, and that's what a woman wanted me to do. Well, evidently, God came and woke me up, and that's not where we need to go.
Oh, wow.
Todd, you
want
to piggyback on that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Todd, you want to piggyback on that one?
It's very interesting, man. It's very interesting. And I agree. Does anyone else want to make a comment?
Any women like to make a comment?
You guys got the floor. You guys got
We have another caller coming in. You know the line's still up, Pam, but he's calling in right now. So just give a sec. But you guys keep rolling with it. I'll just chime in once he gets on. But he's calling in now.
He's in.
Okay, here we go. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Hello, Pam.
Hey.
Pam, this is Robert. Tamika Smith.
Oh, okay. I talked to you yesterday, Robert. How are you, man of God? We have the subject just talking about what do we feel about, what is the reason why men are not coming to church the way that they really need to talk to. And we have Minister Christopher and Minister Todd on the other end of the phone, and you can feel free to ask them any questions that you need to ask that's going on in your life as well as being a young man, because it is so needed. One of the things that was great, what you just said, Minister Christopher, I really appreciate that, but I want to also ask Todd, how do you feel about the situation, Todd, Minister Todd?
Well, I agree with everything Minister Christopher said, but I really believe, I think that we have to all remember that church starts at home, and, you got to develop some understanding and ways of the Lord at home also. You know, when we come up as kids, you know, normally the kids go to church until they're like 13, 14, 15, whatever. And then they kind of branch off into the world, throw them into a man, and they do some exploring, and they go into different realms of life. And then eventually they may come back to the churches when they get a little bit older. But what I mean by it starts at home, you know, we have, like he said, look in the mirror. I can understand that and appreciate that. But you have to understand the history of especially the black culture. You know, we went through the divide and conquer situation, you know, way back in the days to a situation where the black man pretty much, you know, I'm not saying this just to cover black men, but I'm just trying to get our sisters the history. We went through that situation where we was divided and conquered to the point where the sisters were having more opportunities to benefit in life, and the brothers had it probably like 3 to 5 times harder, just like the economy today. When they start downsizing, you know, a lot of the brothers are losing the jobs that have been around for a while, and the sisters are maintaining the jobs. So when you have these situations going on in the house where the brothers are, they start off, they lose their job, and after they lose their job, they lose their license because then they have to try to get money up to pay bills and insurance, and they use the insurance. So then they just get further and further in debt. So it kind of becomes a crisis. And if they don't know the will of God, they don't have a relationship with God to be able to develop power and understanding to overcome any and every obstacle out there that the devil has to put in front of us, they're pretty much in a no-win situation. Like I said, when you lose all of those commodities, you tend to have stress in the home. Back in the day, in slavery, the women were probably getting beneficial because the white men, so to speak, they liked black women, and the black men had, you know, they kind of treated a little bit differently. So they had situations and stuff. But like I said, if they knew God and they knew the power that they had invested, that God had invested in them, they would know how to overcome these situations. A lot of us don't have relationships and don't know how to develop relationship with Christ to make the next move to get out of bondage. So that's why we have people like yourself and me to try to communicate to our brothers and the men to make them understand there is hope and there is power. And like God said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And what he means by that, and also it shows you favor. He means a wife, not a fair, not a woman who's just who can't never get satisfied and don't know how to build because she's not living in the will of God. That's why it's important for us to establish relationships in the will of God, so that the woman can be able to understand what a black man goes through in life, trying to be a black man. I'm sure every black man I know want to be a good dad, want to love their wife, want to take them to the baseball field, and so on and so on. But, you know, the women has to understand the history also. And being a good wife is to support your man and try to understand that he's got these double, triple burdens against him already. And so, you know, those type of things tend to make a man lose their dignity, their pride, and all these things, and it kind of takes him under. But a good supporting woman that can understand the history and still support the man, take him to church and support him so that when he goes to church, he's not going with his pride in his pocket. He don't have money to pay tithes, so he's feeling a little bit down then. And, you know, and the first thing these women do, as soon as the man gets in some type of financial dilemma, it turns bad, and then they'll send him out into the world. Then this guy ends up, not only he has all these other crises, he's trying to pay child support in the house that the woman sent him out of, and then he's trying to pay where he's at, and he's still trying to face those other dilemmas. So that's just the trickery of the devil, and it's a system that's been set up for years to divide and conquer families. And that's just, you know, it's not black and white thing. It's just a good and bad Satan thing that that occurs. So
when I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you think that is the reason? The problem is, why is that pulling out our men, our black men, away from church? Since, you know, we mentioned, I know we're not only talking about black or white or whatever, but we notice that the majority of our black males are not going to church, and they're just pulling away from church. Do you think that is a feral curse? At one time I was like, got to be. You know, back in the days when a Pharaoh curse, you know, like back in the days in Egypt when Pharaoh spoke that every firstborn son will be, you know, cursed. You know what I'm saying? And it's just a phrase. It's just like a phrase that I'm just saying, something like a curse that's upon them, because a lot of them don't want to get married. We have a hard time. Our black males, since we're talking about black, our black males, or you know, a lot of them don't want to get married. They don't want to go to church. We women have to pull them to go to church, and then they don't want to go to church. You know, and I'm just bringing it out there. I'm just keeping it real. Or is it sometime I think it because a lot of them just like disobedient. You know, we curse because we're disobedient. We don't want to listen. You know, we don't want to hear it, and we don't want to be, you know. So I'm asking these questions. I'm bringing it out.
Ma'am, go ahead, Todd.
Okay, I have to tell you that I went to both churches, black and white, and when I did go to a white church, because I love them all, I love everybody, I saw a majority of the men there with their wives. When I go to some of the black churches, I see a lot of them single. The women are single. A lot of our black male, believe it or not, if you look at a big statistic, they're either in jail, on drugs, or dead. And I'm talking about a wide statistic. And because we're not paying attention, you know, even our strong wives, you know, he that finds a wife, we got to pay attention. These guys are going through some stuff. When they don't have money to pay the bills, some people resort to trying to sell drugs because they still want to keep their wives. They want to keep their families. Mm-hmm. They resort to these things. And what happens is that, you know, the devil's setting them up again for failure. And so it's like a stress thing that they go through. So and when we start understanding the things that these men are going through and we start not sending them away, because as soon as they lose money, they're automatically called deadbeat dads. And these guys love their kids. These guys want to be with their kids, and some women won't let men be with their kids until they're paying a certain amount. If they don't have the money, then they don't have no relationship with the kids. And that's another stress level. They just pretty much go through a lot. So
that's good.
On that case, though, I'm going to kind of be the devil's advocate. And hate to say it this way, but a lot of men, we used what you just stated, we use those as excuses.
Uh-huh.
Now, when are we going to stop saying these or those are the excuses? I had a conversation with a good friend of mine yesterday. When we stove is hot, why are we going to keep on touching the hot stove?
Say that again.
If you have a very hot stove, why are you going to keep on going, putting your hand over the flame of the fire of that hot stove?
Okay.
You know it's that way. So what do? We go back to, well, I can't make it. I cannot make it. Are we forgetting what the question is? Why are we leaving? Are we forgetting how to pray?
Amen.
And we have to must understand that prayer will be answered. It's just not going to come when we want it to come. Now,
right.
I know I'm one of those who want the prayer to come right now. Patience, and Pam knows it's me. It doesn't come hand in hand, but it will come. Now, on the other side, what Todd is saying as well is you have to challenge those women. What are women doing? What are men seeing now? You're supposed to go to what? Your husband or your man and talk to him. Go to the pastor of the church and talk to them about your problem. What men are seeing, you're going to your girlfriend. And you're having a bad situation, and your girlfriend has had a bad situation. So I hate to say that misery loves company. And then what happens then? It multiplies. And not one time has that man, hey, baby, what's going on? He doesn't know. And then next thing you know is.
Now, you think those things that I discussed, do they exist? Do they actually exist? Do these guys actually go through this where they're paying? They pay child support, they're trying to play where they live, and they're losing their license. And this is not saying that they choose to make these decisions. These things actually happen to a lot of people. Until they learn how to develop a relationship with Christ, they're going to be confused, they're going to be overwhelmed. And I'm not saying that all the responsibility is on the woman. I'm saying it takes part at home. If we learn how to both learn more about the will of God and learn his ways, then we'll be developed in, on building on solid foundations opposed to being tricked by the devil and being taught destruction. Because it's easy for a person to get stressed out when they don't have financial situations. So it, then the women kick in, do her thing, and the man goes out and makes a move, and he gets back on course before he gets that bad. We can't let money and finances and all these other things destroy something that was built on solid ground, something that's beautiful as a relationship of parent and, you know, both parents raising children and so on. So we, it is an issue that is out there, but and it has to be addressed through love, through God's love. And these women have to understand, because you can get mad at a man and put him out, and then the next man comes with the money that they don't have, and then they have the same problem repeating itself. We're not taking care of the problem, we're not understanding what the problem is. And I guess I'm not making an excuse for men, because I'm a single parent with two babies, and they're doing great. And
one of the things that I did notice, you two guys sound alike. You two men sound alike. So when you your voice sound just alike. So when you talk, address, this is Todd. Let me finish. You still hadn't got to the point, Minister Todd and Minister Christopher. Why are our men running from God? Is it because a lot of times that men are so serious about what they do? Not all men, because a lot of men are still going to church, but majority of our men are running away from the church, running away from God, running away from the calling that's upon their life. You know, now we know that they ran away from their children. Is it because of they're not giving their children the support that they need? Is it because they're still sneaking and sinning, and they still love God, and they just don't want to go and repent before the throne of God, all the way repent and give themselves to God? Is it because of disobedience? What is the reason? Because we will have listeners listening to this, and they're going to hear themselves and see themselves. Now, I know you're saying what you're saying is very important, and it's so true. And we're going to have another topic about what you're saying and what is so true about this and about that. But all we need to know, and all I'm asking right now today, is why are our men running away from the church? Why, when you go to church, and especially in the black churches, you see majority of women's in there, and they're not with their men? Why are the women are stepping up with the calling when God put men on this earth first? God loved male. He is so in love with male. So we need to know, and we need to put this out, that come back home. God got his arms open up for you males. Come back home. And why are you running away from God's church? That's what I need to
hold
know.
That thought right there, Pam. Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break because we have about a minute left, and we'll transition it. We'll go ahead and run the show over so that can be addressed. But just hold that thought, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kalithia. Build, grow, and enjoy. Every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m., join me on the ride of financial literacy through the eyes of the new America. Join me, Kalithia, with Build, Grow, and Enjoy every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. to increase your knowledge about financial literacy on WIGO 1570 AM The Light. And always remember that someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
And welcome back, welcome back. We have about 60 seconds left in the show, so I'm letting everybody know we are going to go over to continue to discuss this very, very, very button-push topic of why our men are running from God with Minister Todd, Minister Christopher, and Pamela Ruth Warloff with the Preparation Room. Lines are open, everyone. We only got about 60 seconds, but you can definitely go to BillGrownEnjoy.com. We are in the live chat, but go ahead. You guys can take it from here to address this question.
Okay. One, before you say anything else, I just want to acknowledge, because the other two guys are acknowledged, I want to acknowledge Rob. Your name is Rob?
Yes.
Is Rob on the phone?
Yes.
Are you on the phone, Rob?
Yes, ma'am.
Give it a second.
Okay. Rob, do you have anything to say? Because these two guys are so professional what they're doing. They got to take it out. What do you think? Do you have anything else to say?
No, ma'am. But I kind of feel what Papa talking about, though.
Okay. Well, just listen in. Now, we're going to open the floor. Minister Christopher, you wanted to say something, or Minister Todd, you wanted to say something?
Well, this is Minister Christopher. I'm going to just go ahead and say one thing on what Mr. Todd has been stating, and you really have to listen to what he's saying. He's given the reasons why we're leaving, and I guess only you really can understand if you're a man. You have a defeatist attitude, and having that, we have to also remember as men that Satan will continue to deceive us, and not just as men, but as women as well. Satan will continue to deceive us. And Satan always spreads doubt. Unfortunately, the man is supposed to be the head of the household. So if he doesn't feel that he's the head of the household, what does he do then? And therefore, you go to Ephesians 2, and it'll tell you a lot about that, especially Ephesians 1 and 2. It'll tell you about that, how Satan is continuously to deceive us. Hey, but you have to, women, I implore you to listen to the man and really listen to what we're saying. Ask a man about a man.
Exactly.
Women cannot tell you about
men. Women have to plant seeds as well as the men. You harvest what you plant, and you just have to start at home. If you can't make it at home, how are you going to get out in the street and make it? Or how are you going to go anywhere to the churches? So you have to start at home so that he can he's not overwhelmed, so he can develop a relationship with Christ so that he can be empowered to be a leader, to be a man of God. So we have to stick together and humble ourselves. And get the information to move forward and not be in a bunch of bondage.
So what do you think we should put out there to the women, you know, that's in a relationship with their husbands?
Not to be overwhelmed by the illusions and the trickery of the devil. To humble yourself, to communicate with your spouse, and remember, you guys are there from the first place because you loved each other. That's what the whole thing is about, building and growing and caring and sharing. So let's not be so quick to respond from the illusions and the trickery of the devil and think, making you think something's better or anything's better. Pray. Pray together. A family that prays together stays together. Can't spend the last days together.
Amen. Amen.
And also,
I like that.
And one biggest thing you have to, like I said, what Mr. Todd was just saying, you have to talk to your man. You got to talk to your man. If you're not talking to your man, I would like for anybody to answer that question. What can your woman tell you about a man? She can tell you about what she doesn't want or what she's been through.
Right.
You got to talk to your man. And don't talk to a man who's trying to get in your pants as well. A true man is going to tell you, hey, what that man is going through and what he's feeling. Because we have been
there.
Right.
And women, remember, you're not looking for affairs. You're looking for relationships. See, you got a lot of women that are looking for affairs, and that's causing a bunch of confusion in men's life, too, and children. So we all need to be stable in Christ. We all need to know where we're at and where we're going and who we represent. If we keep acquiring the knowledge and the wisdom of Christ, we should be able to move forward in a very prosperous way.
Hmm.
Stay humble. Stay humble, women. Stay humble, men.
Yeah, well, tell me something. What do you think, what do you define an affair in a relationship? Can you define that, Minister Todd, since you brought it up? You said not for a relationship. Define that.
Yeah, a relationship is something that you see the big picture. When you get involved, you see everything. You want to live under the covenant of God. You want to be married. You want to see yourself supporting your wife supporting you, growing, building, sharing, caring on solid foundation. Not on sandy grounds. You know, you have to see the big picture. If you're not there for the big picture, then you're there for something else.
Okay, that's the relationship. Yes, it makes sense. Now, your listeners are listening now. Now, what about the affair? You know, what about the affair? How would you define when a woman is coming to you and what is she looking for, a relationship and an affair? Since you're saying, you know, you talked about the relationship. Let's talk about the affair.
Well,
you got to realize when you two come together, are you there to waste each other's time or are you there to build? If you're there just for sex, you know that's going to be a destructive a manner, and it at least a destructive. If you're there just for a good time, that's not building. That's going to waste a lot of time. And then if you have children involved, then you're playing with them. So you have to really look at the big picture. Do you see yourself marrying this person? Do you love this person? You know, because when we connect and we, you know, share each other's bodies, we connect in spirits, and we got to realize that you connect in bloodlines. That takes on spirits, demons, curses that the next person takes on. God has made us to have single relationships. You know, there's people that have relationships and they're doing great with their life, but they decide that they're doing okay. They go on the side and have relationships with people outside of the relationship, and then they don't understand what happens when they come home to their wife. They don't share all of these different bloodline spirits and curses, and then she's susceptible to it. She ends up with those same curses and situations. Then there's more destruction. So you have to really look, you know, am I here to make this person, you know, happy for the rest of their life and be happy and build and grow and share and take this relationship to Christ and be blessed under the covenant of God? Or am I here just to get something good or get something out of it or whatever, you know, for selfish reasons?
Wow. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, yep, now, Minister Christopher.
Please.
This question is for you.
Okay.
So what do you think how we could bring our males back to church? What do you think? Can you give us some solution? How can we get our males back in church or get them back to God? From what I'm getting from it, to me, as a woman, as I'm sitting here, and Felicia and Annette, you women, whoever listening in, you could call in or whatever you need to do and ask them your question about it, because it's still not clearly enough to me why our men are leaving back. What I'm thinking about is what you're saying is maybe it's because we're not communicating with them enough or embracing them enough to come back to the Father. Maybe we need to be more humble with them or help them with their problems, and then they wouldn't be so bogged down with their problems, and maybe they'll come back to church. Because the answer is still not being completed to me. I don't know. What about you, Annette? How do you feel about it? What about you,
Felicia? This is Annette speaking. I have a few questions here. Number one, I know how men can be. Is it that other men laugh at you, make fun of you because you go to church? It's not macho. You know, that's one of the things.
We just ask the questions about it.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, just.
That sounds like a difference between a boy and a man. Now, you women have to decide whether they want to deal with a man or a boy. Now, a man knows that anything to do with something constructive, good, and growing, and that's what the Lord teaches, he's going to be 100% wanting to be involved. I mean, I love going to church. I've done it all in the music industry and other places, but I love going to church. I love eating at the Piccadilly's and after church. I love bringing my family because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel clean and pure and happy and know that I'm under the covenant of God. So I think a lot of men would love to go to church. I think they just need to be empowered again instead of killed. If they feel like, okay, if I can't be a man enough to take care of my family, God, do you really love me? What's really going on? And they're overwhelmed to the point where it's like a curse. And I'm trying to tell you, fellas, wake up. Spend some more time so that you can get developed, so that you can grow and be stronger. If you do that, the more you eat spiritual food, the more Satan and his curses and all his situations have to flee. Then you can start developing knowledge and wisdom and be able to be strong and be leaders. But women, we still need you to be humble enough because you guys have better opportunities. There was a situation real quick where there was a senior citizen home. I went there, talked to some people at one time, and I noticed that they was giving this guy a hard time for taking care of his dad. But it was okay for all the other
800 apartments with women that was taking care of their dads. They didn't have any issues. And so you guys pretty much do have an advantage. And the average man out in this world, especially black men of the culture, are really catching it. They're catching it double and triple. So we need a little bit of support and understanding
okay.
and communication. Bring your man to church, but understand him so that he'll want to love the situation enough to go to church. If he feels like it's confusion at the house, he don't want to go to church and get more embarrassed, or he can't go to church and pay tithe because he feels like he's less than a man, and he's talking to God. God, you know, why is this and that? But men, you also have to understand that God is not going to anoint you and bless you until you're humble enough to learn, get molded and shaped to the perfect picture that he's trying to do for you and provide for you, because he's not going to give you money if you don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to be a man with it. He's not going to give you blessings if you're not humble enough to read his words, because if you're not into the word, you're into the devil's mess, and you're going to get defeated every time. So we have to stand up and get more into the word.
I'm sorry. I have a question, Pam. Mine is, what about the men of God that fall short out of their covenant? I mean, how do you pull them back?
Okay, Minister Christopher, can you answer that for us?
That is something that we fall short, and we can't really say men fall short. I guess I would really say we all fall short, to some degree and extent. And we have to understand that God will forgive us. The things that happen, though, is when a man falls short from that point, we come back to our woman. The woman says, "I forgive you," and what usually happens, the past resurfaces itself. How long can you beat a dead horse? That problem happened 5 years ago, and every time we have a problem or a situation, it resurfaces. So you have to ask yourself, and this is what men thinking, he said from a man's point, you keep on beating us down, so guess what? Eventually, you're pushing us back, and we say, you don't even trust us anymore. So then what happens if a woman falls short to any degree? What does a man, he might say something, or he might not say something. Because if he says
listen.
A man's going to say something, and it's going to come out a little harsher. So then now how is the woman going to feel? So it's, are you truly forgiving me? And I want to be forgiven right now. But then, yet, everything that has happened with me, it always comes back up to light, and we're not living what God has really told us. Forgive. Live in the present, not the past.
Yeah.
Don't worry about our future. We will handle that. And now, so there lies the problem of how are men feeling.
We women look at our men as, you know, when they're men of God, we just really think that they're really special to us. And, you know, we feel as though that we believe in God first, but they're like the next thing to God, to us. You know what I'm saying? Women love a little different. And that's why a lot of women like get a man of God, because we love, you know, we love hard and we love without everything. So when our men of God just mess up on us, you know what I'm saying? That really tears us apart. And then when they continue to do it,
let me ask a question, though, Pam. Let me ask a question.
I just want to say,
Wait a minute, Todd.
Okay.
The question is, you have to ask yourself, though. Ask yourself as a woman, are you making that man or that man of God a god or an idol? And he's not supposed to let it mess up?
No, I mean, we love anything hard like that. Women, when they love, they really love. And it doesn't mean that we're going to make a man an idol. We know who our God is. And we only worship one God, right, women of God? Right, women of God? And we only worship one God. But it's something about a woman when she loves, she trusts her husband. You know what I'm saying?
The question was asked. Go back to the question that was asked. What happened? And it gave you how men are feeling. And I'm sure that Minister Todd can say some of the same things. We mess up.
All right.
It happened.
Well,
now, what do we do to move forward?
No one ever comes up with a solution.
Wait, Kalicia is talking. Real quick.
I know we got about 31 seconds, and you know we can carry this on. Pam, you're going to have to bring Pastor Chris and Pastor Todd back on, but I just want to say thank you to you guys. Oh, my gosh, I hate to end it, but it's going to cut off. But thank you, Pam. Okay. Thank you, Annette. We're going to have to do this as another conclusion show. But definitely, everyone, this concludes the show for today. Bill Goat and Joy, the movement is alive. You can listen to the archive show. I love you all. And just God bless. The movement is alive. And enjoy.
I'm ready.
Thank you for taking the ride with me on Build, Grow, and Enjoy.